So they rented a boat, three of them were fishing, and then suddenly one preacher said, oh, I think this is a time for us to consider like telling our weaknesses. All right? So they agreed to tell their weaknesses. And the first guy said, I have a weakness in gambling. And sometimes I go out and gamble. Oh, okay. So the next one said, I have a problem with cheating. You know, in the past couple of years, I haven't paid my taxes. So I cheat. So they waited and waited for the next one to speak up, you know. And then they told the two told the guy, said, okay, if you tell your weakness, we'll go back to the, you know, to the shore and, you know, finish our fishing. Unless you will tell us what your weakness is, you know, we won't go to the shore. So they waited and waited, and suddenly, okay, I will tell my weakness then. Because they promised they go back, and he was waiting. You know, my weakness is gossiping, and I can't wait. And I will tell my congregation about the things that you told us. All right, so it's a joke, but it happens. Okay. Yes. You know, our subject this morning is about remembering. It's a book of Peter, actually. If you will have your Bible with you, we'll be reading the book of Peter, but the subject of 1 Peter, actually, or the book of Peter, it says over here, Peter, one of the Jesus' 12 disciples, wrote this letter to the Christians who live in the northern part of Asia Minor. These Christians were being persecuted for their faith. So Peter wrote to them and encouraged them. He urged them to remember how much Jesus suffered for them and to follow his examples by trusting God to care for them, because God chose them to be his people, and his son Jesus suffered and died for them, and they should live holy lives. Peter also tells them how to handle suffering, live as Christians in this sinful world, and have hope for the future. So Peter was encouraging them to remember, not to forget. That's why our title today is God's People Always Remember. We are constantly reminded, you know, not to forget, you know, how precious our redemption is. Don't forget how precious. We kind of mention it in our Bible study, how precious our redemption is. If we will read the book of Peter, he also made mention there, you are not redeemed by golds, by, you know, treasures of this world, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So Peter was reminding them not to forget that precious redemption that all of them have experienced in their lives, and not to forget that Christ died for them. So this morning, Peter also wanted for us to remember those things. And he challenges us today. So we read these verses in chapter 1, verses 20 to 25. It says over here, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not with perishable seed, but imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. You know, God's plan of salvation is not an afterthought. It's not even an accident. It's a plan from the beginning. when he, even before he created us, even before you and I came to this world, God's plan is there already. He planned it all along. He knows that all of us will come to him. He knows that one day all of us, you know, will come to him. He knows that. He knows what will happen, that people will rebel against him. He knows what will happen to you and to me. And all of us are here. We're coming in front of God. So he planned it all along before the foundation of the world. That's what the verse is saying. And he loved us. His love is not an accident. His love is not an afterthought. You know, some people say they don't want to, because sometimes we base our decision weighing, balancing the risk, you know, and the finished products. And sometimes we don't do good. A lot of times we don't do good because sometimes we think of, you know, I will spend more time. Too much time. Maybe too much effort. You know, that's why we don't do. I think it's too much effort, so I won't do it. You know, I won't do it. You know, and sometimes, you know, it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of money. Sometimes. That's why we don't do things that are positive in our life. We always weigh the risk. But God doesn't weigh the risk. He knows what will happen. He loved us and he planned for it. It's not even an accident that you and I were here. You know, from before the foundation of the world, he loved us already. It's like this. I'll give you a good example. A baby inside the womb of the mom. And the mom loved the baby already without seeing the baby yet. Right? She loves him. And maybe, the fact is the dad is the same thing. They haven't seen the baby yet. He wasn't born yet. You know? He wasn't out of this world yet. And yet, these parents, you know, show their love and affection. Real, real, real affection on this baby. And that is God. Before we are born, before we are created, before, you know, anything, God planned and showed his plan to this world already. He has a great plan. You know, it's not an afterthought. He didn't weigh, you know, the risk and the balances of doing these things because he knows he's a sovereign God. He loves you. He loves me. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to meet him in heaven and be reconciled to him. His love is not an accident and an afterthought. Okay. God knows it will cause a lot of things, great things. And in fact, he knows that it will cause his son to die on the Calvary. And yet he did it. That's how God loves us. He knows one day his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, will die on the cross. And yet, he changed the plan. Right? He didn't say, oh, I will stop the plan because it will cause my son, who is the only begotten son of God, will die on the cross. So I will stop. No, he didn't say that. He continued his plan to redeem us. Even it will cause his dearly beloved son for you and me. Because he is a loving God. Imagine that. You weren't born yet. I wasn't born yet. And yet he showed his love for us. He already, you know, chosen to love us and has a plan for us. He know all of us, you know, will be coming to him and some of us will be in rebellion to him, and yet putting aside those things, you know, he did his plan, and by our faith with him, he saved us, you know, he saved us and gave his life and continuous lang. Okay, that's our first point. Remember that. He loves you even before He created us. His plan is for before the foundation of the world. Second point. He loves us and saves us so we can have a pure love for our brothers. Right? Pure love. Some translation of the Bible, so we will have an intense love for our brothers. Can we say that people around us that, let's say this word, I was saved because once God wants me to love you. Say that thing, that statement to the, you know, to the nearest person in you, in with you. Can you say that? He saved me because God wants me to love you. Can you say that, please? Say it to another person. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I put it in a different statement. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's so easy to say that when people in front of you or beside you, and sometimes it's so hard to say it in the people behind you, right? But we have to, because that's the reason. Because Peter declared it, and we are saved to love intensely. Some translations said intensely. You know, intensely our brothers. We have to love them. I know sometimes it's hard. I know sometimes. Okay, I love him. I love this guy. I love this guy, but not him. Right? Please don't. Just like brother said earlier to the sister. He said, I forgive you already, but don't pass by my house. Something like that. No, he said... It's a joke only, right? Yeah, but God save us, actually, to intensely love our brothers. It's not a, how do you call this? It's not a word that comes out easily in our mouth. It has to be shown in our lives. All right? In our lives. Because we have to show them, because God loves us. God loves us. God save us to love the brethren around us and love one another. How do we do it? Remember, God changed our heart. Remember, God changed our heart. He purifies our heart. Gradually, He cleanses us. That's the word sanctification, right? He sanctifies us gradually, you know, step by step, until we are ready. And He will give us a pure heart. Daniel said that God will give us a pure heart, a loving heart. You know, how? By the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will indwell us. That's why we can do this one. I know it's not easy, but we can do this. We can love our fellow man. We can love the person that doesn't look lovable, something like that. You know, we can love because God is indwelling in us. You know, we just have to realize that God saved us. Let us put ourselves on that. God loves us. Are we lovable? No. Because we have sinned against God. We have disobeyed Him many, many times. But still, He loved us. So He saved us to love our brothers. Brother Dante, we're talking about that in a couple of days, actually. And we concluded that we love our brothers, even though it's hard. Really? 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 And God wanted us to do so. We have to love our brothers because God says that we have to love. And we have, you know, if we don't do that, we contradict what the Bible is saying. The problem is actually loving too much. We say, oh, I love my kids too much. Actually, there's a contradiction of that thing, actually. Actually, sometimes we don't love our children too much. The problem is sometimes we make bad decisions, bad judgment, right? Right? Sometimes we see wrong things and we don't say anything, and yet we say we love our kids, right? We love our kids, but sometimes when you see things that are not acceptable, you tolerate it and you make bad decisions. You know, if we truly, truly love our kids, we will say to them that you are wrong and you need to be corrected. That's how God tells his kids, right? He tells us he loves us. At the same time, he tells us we have to be corrected with what we are doing right now. That is love. A lot of times, we make bad choices, right? I make bad choices. You know, I tell my kids, oh, I love you, but sometimes I let them do the things I wanted to do. And we tolerate it. So we make bad choices. Right? So if we really love them, there is a quotation that I still remember right now. If you really want to know who are your real friends, just make one mistake. So what will your real friend say? Oh, you're doing something wrong. But your friends who's applauding you and cheering you up because you're doing something wrong are not your friends. Those are your enemies. Get the point, right? Because sometimes when you were growing up, you know, when you were growing up, when you were in high school, when you were, you know, still young, and you know, you do some things that are, and your friends will, you know, cheer you up. Oh, go ahead, do that. Yes, it's good. You know, and some friend of yours will say, oh, don't do that. That's no good. Those are your real friends. But the people who are cheering you up and saying, go on, do it. If you like it, do it. You know, that's not your friends. That's your enemies. And God loved us. And he told us to change. Turn around. Because he loved us. And corrected us. Because God loves us. Okay? So we can love. That's the second point, because we can love our brothers and sisters fervently and earnestly. And if we love them, they feel it. Can we say that? If your brothers and sisters in Christ, can you feel that they love you? Earnestly and fervently? Right? We should feel it, right? You know? We should be able to tell our brothers that I love him, I love you, love her, and they can sense it. Just like you can sense the person who told you that. You can sense it. And we can do that because we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And Christ said, you know, Christ said, he will give us a new and purify our hearts. That's the second point. And then the third point is remember the enduring power of God through his word. You know, it says the plant withers, the grass withers, the flowers fall away, the grass withers. But the word of God endures forever. The word of God will endure forever. You know, some people said, oh, the Bible is old. It's, an ancient book. So it doesn't apply, you know, to our, you know, kind of system of life nowadays. You think they're telling us the truth? A lot of people say, oh, that's an old, you know, it doesn't, it's not, what do you call this? It's not, it's not applicable nowadays. It's not applicable nowadays. You know? And they will say, oh, how did you know that that Christ will save you? You weren't there when he died on the cross. How can you be sure? A lot of, you know, critic about the Bible. How can you be sure that, you know, they wrote this one? And they will, you know, they will say negative things, that the Word of God is, you know, is not applicable in our lives. Okay. But mind you, Peter said, your Word endures forever. My faith is still applicable in our lives today. It still is. No matter what they say, it's still applicable. Because you know why? I can see it and I can sense it. You know? It's not a, what do you call this? It's not a, a writing that is, you know, that is, it has an end story that, you know, it's not applicable, just like any other book. But your Word endures forever. That's why I even told Brother Dante that sometimes we're preaching over here, we're teaching the Word of God, and some people are, you know, renting this place, and they can hear us, and they can maybe, you know, we never know. Because I do believe, I do have faith that the Word of God, if it's preached, it will not go to him, to God back again without anything. It will produce its fruit. I know they're listening. I know they're hearing the Word of God. And I know the Word of God will penetrate on their lives, just like it did to you, and it did to me. Because the Word of God endures forever. Endures forever. It's still applicable nowadays, my friends. You know? It's applicable today. It's applicable before. You know? It's applicable today. We can still hold on to the Word of God, because it's the truth. Is the truth, and it doesn't, you know, it will not be get past its power. And the Bible is the basis of our faith, is the basis of our faith and practice. The Bible is the final authority. The Word of God is the final authority. It is the final Word of God. That's why Peter is admonishing us to remember the Word of God. Just like when you work in a bank, I think they train you to how to look for those money that are counterfeit, right? They train you, right? So you would know if it's counterfeit dollar and counterfeit $100 or counterfeit $50, whatever. So by just looking alone on those denominations, you know, you can see. And a lot of people are saying that the Word of God is not, you know, is not pure, is not adequate, it's not able to, you know, to really get its power done in our lives. Thing is, we have faith on it, you know. So I encourage everybody to read it. It's the final authority of God. It's the basis of our faith and practice. Where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where the Bible is silent, we are silent. When the Bible says, we have to practice this and obey this one, we follow that. Because that's the Word of God. If you read the book of Revelation, that's why I told my daughter sometimes it's hard for me to teach Revelation. I've been telling her that. Because you see on those verses, on the last verses, if you add words on this prophecy, God will add plague in your life, he said. And then, if you subtract, God will take away your name in the book of life. So, I mean, it's a warning, but, you know, the Word of God is powerful. The word of God is the final authority. You know, we can navigate this life using the word of God. You know, how to navigate this life is not an easy thing. That's why we need the word of God in our lives. So I urge you today, those three things, you know, that we should always remember, as Peter is admonishing us to remember those things. Number one, God loved us before the foundation of the world. Second one is, God loved and saved us to love our fellow man. And then number three, God loves us. I mean, we should remember the word of God and study and apply it in our lives. Because this is the final authority of God. And He admonishes us this morning. Let's bow our heads, let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, thank you so much once again that we're here to, it's like our song, so God, our worship is not on earthly things, but you are the center of it. And oh God, that's our motivation right now. You're the only reason that's why we're here. It's only Jesus' name, the sweetest name of all. So we will always remember those things. As you have loved us so much. I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ that we should not forget how God loves us and died for us so much. Pray that as we continue serving you today, the only reason in our heart is to honor and worship you. Because you are worthy to be honored and to be worshipped. Bless the people that you're going through us. And as we continue serving you today, thank you for the message. Thank you for the book, Peter. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.